The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway on this Tuesday, whatever day it is in July. It's in the pandemic. Nobody really knows what the 14th. I think it's the 14th. I've got so much bad news sitting in front of me. I've got a stack of terrible news. So I'm going to start with a good news story. After 24 years, Ford is bringing back the Bronco. Generalissimo, is this not unqualified good news?
Compared to everything else, yes. I don't know why that's really that big of a deal.
Well, it goes back to the 83 Baja 500. Never mind about that. But it is a great car. I mean, it also made me think, since OJ went in a Bronco, and this has been off the market for 24 years, doesn't that make you feel old?
Well, one, it makes you feel old, and two, it makes you just like 2020. Of course, we're bringing back OJ's car.
Back OJ's car. And this car originally was introduced by Lee Iacocca in 1965. And it's everywhere still. You still run into these things, don't you? I mean, you're a car guy. You're out there.
You run into them,
and they're indestructible.
And usually, you lose if you run into them.
They are absolutely freaking indestructible. And Ford has been getting crushed by Jeep's Wrangler, and so they're bringing it back. Price point's going to be about $44,000. But I guess that's a little bit of good news.
$44,000 for a Bronco.
I know. I know. My dad used to say, God rest his soul, Bill Hewitt, he was never going to pay more for a house than he paid for. He was never going to pay more for a car than he paid for a house.
That's like spending $35,000 for a Pinto.
Yeah. He bought his first house in 1959, I guess, for $13,500 in Warren, Ohio.
Yeah.
And he always said, I'm never going to pay more for a car than I paid for that first house. And guess what?
No, that's not.
Yes, he did.
That's not true.
Yes, he did, because he bought more than clunkers.
Yep.
I'm amused by that. All right, let's get to the bad news. All right, the bad news is Financial Times of London. First of all, California has shut down. It's rolled back its reopening plans. Only necessary functions inside the office. You know, so they're going to pare back workforces inside of office to come back to work. And gyms, barbers, places of worship. A whole bunch of malls in 30 of the counties in the state shut back down. Why? Because the infection rate is going through the roof. Now, infection rate is not death. The death as of last week was still about 40 a day for every 1,000 cases in the United States. And that is, that's not bad. That's better than the rest of the world. But our infection rate is skyrocketing. And so that was inevitable. Gavin Newsom has done a very good job, I think. I think everyone is doing the best they can, right? From President Trump to the local school board. I'm not mad at anybody because this thing has never been seen before. And I think everyone ought to adopt the attitude that, you know, no one is intentionally, other than the Chinese Communist Party, intentionally trying to get people sick or killed. Everybody is doing the best they can to reopen as quickly as they can and to contain the spread of the virus and to, of course, expedite therapies. And we're getting better at treating it. And I see more people out and about. I had to go to the drugstore yesterday, so I saw a few people out, but I don't go out much. I stay pretty much away from people because I got enough trouble with allergies. You'll probably hear me sneeze 100 times in the course of this show. I'll tell you, the Beltway in the summer, not the place to be. That's why everybody leaves. Everybody normally leaves, and that's why they're grumpy. Everybody's grumpy. Nobody wants to be here. People melt. 100% humidity, that kind of stuff. The thunderstorms don't come through like they do in Ohio about every afternoon to blow off the day's heat and make the night passable. Got all the bugs and none of the sun. So people in California were enjoying that part of the year that California is best for, July and August. That is, you know, January and February too, but July and August, January and February. Those are California months. Whereas opposed to Virginia months are summer, are fall and spring. That's when you want to be in Virginia. But Virginia has had a great run of it. You know, the Washington Post, California orders new closures as U.S. retreats from coronavirus reopening accelerates. Wall Street Journal, as U.S. surge in coronavirus cases continue, some states tighten rule. Great Britain is going to make it a 100-pound fine if you don't wear a mask inside of a store. Now, that's not the United States way. It's up to the states, right? And they're much smaller than we are. So I don't know if you need masks in Wyoming. I really don't. I don't know if you need masks in Maine or in Nebraska, but you need masks in Virginia and California. And they're going to make it mandatory in Great Britain, and I would not be surprised if they do so in California and New York. But we're nothing compared to Joburg. Johannesburg, South Africa, the storm is upon us, they say. 12,000 new coronavirus cases confirmed every day. They have reinstated a ban on alcohol and a curfew in an effort to ease demand for hospital. That's it, like the most draconian thing I've seen to stop people from drinking. I myself don't drink, but the idea that you would tell people who do that they can't drink, they're really in dire straits there. And they hit their first 100,000 cases on June 22nd. It doubled by July 6th. And South Africa, while the richest of Africa's, or at least sub-Saharan Africa's countries, is not rich. I mean, not by world standards. In other news, the U.S. just simply blew off the People's Republic of China yesterday. Mike Pompeo said, we're rejecting all their maritime claims. Everybody knows they're not legit, ridiculous, absurd. We're not doing that. And in market news, brought to you by Birch Gold, all right? I told you, let's go see what gold is. I told you in December of last year, buy gold. It's at 1802, down a little bit, maybe not the entry point you wanted. Maybe you wanted it, you're regretting you didn't get it at 1700. I think inflation is coming back. That's why gold hovers above 1800. Birch Gold will help you buy gold or pour some of your retirement assets, not all. I'm not a gold bug. I believe in diversification, 10, 20%. You send my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Text the name Hugh to 474747. And let them help you make the process easy. Here's $10,000. Here's $20,000. I want it in physical gold and silver. They go and they buy the gold at the strike price that day. They put it into the depository. They set it up with you. You know where it is. And then it sits there. Doesn't go anywhere. It's not stock. It's not a spider. It's a the actual physical stuff. Or you can go to HughGold.com and find out how to contact them. You can also buy physical gold from them if you want to put it in your safety deposit box or, you know, under the bed, which I do not advise. Just text my name to 474747. Yesterday on the market, the Dow was up 10. The NASDAQ was down 226. And the S&P was down 29. I'm partly to blame. I am one of the millions of people who said, you know, the market is really frothy. I sold my Amazon yesterday. I now have no stocks. I'll get back into Amazon after it retreats. I am very suspicious of stocks that go up that fast, that far. I know the transition has happened, but what happened to Amazon yesterday? I got done with the show yesterday, and and dumped it all. It was at, that's not correct. I got to update that. Amazon had a roller coaster yesterday. Went ended up being down $96 after being up $125 in the morning, at which point I called up my broker and said, get rid of this stuff. This is crazy. I believe in nice 1% gains every now and then, but it's going crazy. Sure enough, it blew off. I'm not a genius. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of the prophet. What I am is a very conservative investor. Diversification, including gold, mostly mutual funds, because you don't know anything that they don't know. People out there think you're the day trader of the world. You're not. They're people who are really smart and do this full time. You can't run a radio show and I can't run a mutual fund. So it's best just to do mutual funds. But it might be fun to have one stock. And Amazon blew off yesterday, $96 down 3%. It'll probably recover today, but I don't know. I do know that gold should be in your portfolio. HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. When we come back, we're going to talk about schools. Because L.A. and San Diego said no school except virtual school in the fall. I think it's a bad decision, but I'm willing to talk to you about it. Stay tuned. President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Hewitt to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's HEWITT2, 88022, 88022, to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by the Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. Minutes after the hour, America. Good morning. It's Hugh Hewitt. Alice, if you're listening in Phoenix, we love your song still. I am here to tell you that L.A. and San Diego schools, L.A. is the second largest school district in America. They just threw in the towel yesterday. California's, I'm reading from the New York Times, story by Sean Huber and Danny Goldstein. California's two largest public school districts said on Monday that instruction would be online only in the fall. In the latest sign that school administrators are increasingly unwilling to risk crowding students back into classrooms until the coronavirus is fully under control. The decision came as Governor Newsom announced rollbacks, etc., in the California plan to reopen. Quote, there's a public health imperative to keep schools from becoming a petri dish, said Austin Buettner, the L.A. school district's superintendent. Then in a paragraph which just boggles my mind. The California decisions are the latest blow to President Trump's push to fully reopen schools across the country. Now, I personally believe it's not a blow to anybody except the students. It's a blow to the students. I believe it is a selfish, teacher union driven, bureaucratic, butt covering decision. When what ought to happen is the schools ought to be reopened, at least with teachers under the age of 50 who don't want to opt out, for as many students who need to come or want to come, and online learning provided for those who can't to those classrooms where it is ongoing. And that's to me, the rational approach is to keep teachers out of that. I read a tragic story yesterday of a summer school teacher who was 63, had asthma and lupus and one other diabetes and died after working. So I know that teachers are at risk, and I really wouldn't put any under 50 in a classroom, and I wouldn't put any under 50 with an underlying condition, and you might pay them anyway, and you might double up classes. I went to parochial school, so I think we had like 55 kids in a class one year. So, a nun and a ruler could keep order in those days in the 60s. But the fact is, they've just got to innovate, and no teacher union wants to innovate. They'd rather teach from home. Now, Generalissimo is married to a teacher who hates teaching from home. I don't know if she hates teaching from home, right, Dwayne? She doesn't like it.
Well, she doesn't like it. It's just not the preferred way to do it, obviously.
She can't teach as well, right?
you don't establish the same relationships with kids. You don't connect with kids the same way as you do in person.
So I think every teacher, I'm interested in your reactions. 1-800-520-1234. This is also catastrophic for children who are in impoverished circumstances and need the food and the love that they get at school. It is catastrophic for childhood development. I mean, catastrophic K through four. K through three, you learn to read, so that beginning in fourth onward, you read to learn. So K through three is about learning to read, so you begin to read to learn in grade four. So at a minimum, I would bring back elementary schools. Maybe you say to kids who are older and with a little bit of self-control, though I do not know how that encompasses junior high kids. Fetching Mrs. Hugh and I taught Sunday school forever. We no longer do it as we move around so much. But the one class I wouldn't teach junior high school, Sunday school. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not at this juncture. And that's because they're squirrels. I mean, does anyone disagree with me that 7th and 8th graders are actually squirrels in growing bodies? And so I wanted nothing to do with them. And other people can teach the squirrels, even on Sundays. But, you know, K through 6, couldn't we just approach this as elementary school minus teachers over 50 or 55 and just say you can keep your kids home if there's fragile medical patients in the home that they cannot avoid? Or if you're a teacher, you don't have to go in if you don't want to. But we will make do. We'll combine classes. We will get them out of the house into some sort of structure. Isn't that the way to go? And I know there are union contracts that don't require that, that don't allow for that. But can't we all just sort of say, okay, everything on suspension until we get a vaccine in December or January? So everybody is just going to roll with it. I just don't believe you can keep all of the L.A. Unified School District shuttered. 1-800-520-1234. What do you think, America? It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie. I can't stop singing along.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. John Androsik, Five for Fighting. Always makes me happy to listen to the idea that America is America despite divisions.
Was a time a long, long time ago. Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right. Hey, man,
I am looking at a map of the United States by state from Barstool Sports. And it lists by logo the most popular team in each state. Now, the state up north of Ohio, amazing. I've tweeted this out, by the way. I've retweeted the Barstool Sports compilation, which went up 13 hours ago. What is the most popular state in your popular team in your state based on data from sports, housing, and recreational tourism statistics? And this may surprise you, but the state up north of Ohio, their favorite team is the Ohio State Buckeyes. To the west of Ohio, it's Notre Dame. Sorry, Jerry Hendricks, not Purdue. To the south is the University of Kentucky and University of West Virginia. And to the east of Ohio, that state doesn't have a team. And then in Ohio, it's the Browns. Now, I tweeted this out. I just said, notice the state up north of Ohio embraces Ohio State football. The states to Ohio's west and south are also college-driven. Ohio is Browns country, and Pennsylvania doesn't have a team. And Nikki Wolf, who was the launch editor of the New Statesman America and a contributing editor to the New Statesman and the Guardian, tweeted, hold up, Ohio State is the most popular team in Michigan? That doesn't sound right. Look, they've given up. You're referring to that team up north. They've given up. They don't even recruit anymore. And I honestly, they can't get any. They're trying. They're going all over the country and finding, you know, JUCO kids to try and come. And I mean, people who might otherwise play at Mount Union in Ohio, or maybe they could possibly play at, Oklahoma State. Sorry, Oklahoma State. But they're just not going to Michigan anymore. No one wants to go up there. So the state up north has become Ohio State Buckeyes land. That's good. Couple other surprises. In New York, it's not the dreaded Yankees. It's the Buffalo Bills. Bills are number one. And then in the largest state on the map outside of California and Texas, do you know what that is, America, on the map? They don't list Alaska. In Texas, it's Houston Astros. In New York, in California, unusually, it's not the 49ers. Nobody likes the 49ers, really. Nobody likes San Francisco at all. They ought to just cut it off and make it its own state. It's the Bolts, now the Los Angeles Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers. But in Colorado, it's obviously the Broncos. And then in Wyoming, it's the Broncos. But then you go to Montana, and that is the only state on which the dreaded logo appears. For some reason, which I do not understand, the New York Yankees are loved in Montana. Don't ask me why. You can go to my Twitter feed, Hugh Hewitt, and get the map for yourself. I can't go through all these states. But the Pelicans dominate Louisiana, so I'm beginning to think this isn't so good because Louisiana State basically owns Louisiana. There's a vote today in Alabama, by the way, between Tommy Tuberville and Jeff Sessions. I think Tommy's going to win that and be the next senator from Alabama, defeating Doug Jones, but we will see. To the phones, what about schools? Michael, San Antonio, good morning. Listening on K-Loop. How are you, Michael?
Good morning, you. So I'm a college math instructor, and one aspect of this remote learning, which I'm not a fan of, is the environment that the students are attempting to learn. I mean, if they're living at home with their parents and their siblings, which is quite often the case with my students, it's noisy. So they turn off their microphones, even when I ask them repeatedly to turn the microphones on. And for whatever reason, some of them are very reluctant to turn on the video, maybe because of that, you know, we'd see what the house looks like or something. So you don't see them. You can't hear them. And then I teach math. I'm at the blackboard a lot. And when I'm at the equivalent of the electronic blackboard, those students that I could normally see, I can't see.
And if someone just isn't getting part of your algebraic equation, can they shout out, can they interrupt you without completely screwing up in class? They can put up their hand and you can kind of give them a note. I've been teaching in the classroom for 24 of the last 25 years, law students. And people have questions, and I normally, I'll take them or I'll fade them until after I'm done making my point. Depends on how you're teaching. But if you are at a chalkboard with your back turned, someone's going to say, I am Professor Michael. And then you stop and turn around if you want to. He said, just a second. And then you finish your equation. I just don't know how you can do it. There's so much nonverbal communication in a classroom, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you can't, so in this environment, there are no cues to pick up on.
I am sympathetic, especially in the math and the hard sciences. Thinking back to my most disastrous academic, thank you, Michael. My most disastrous academic experience ever was physics in 12th grade by Mr. Gary Snyder, wherever you are, Mr. Snyder, hello. Mr. Snyder generously gave me a D. Now, mind you, I was going in, I'd been admitted to Harvard, and maybe I didn't work so hard in the second semester. I may have gotten a C in the first semester. I mean, I just don't. Geometry and physics, those are not, this is going to shock Dwayne. Geometry and physics are not my thing. And I would just stare blankly at the wall and whatever he was doing. But he gave me a D so I could graduate.
Geometry is barely math.
Geometry is not math.
It really is.
Alien invasion. It was left by the alien beings referred to in the Old Testament. What are they called? The giant people? Nephali. That's where geometry came from. Geometry is not
actually possible. And Sister Aloysius, who died, Sister Mary Jean Kornenko, who died this year, got me through geometry in the summer, and then Gary Snyder got me through physics. But algebra and trig, analysis, calculus, easy peasy, you know, AP, whatever you want, did it, smashed it. Geometry is, I don't know how you teach geometry. If there are geometry teachers listening, call me. Rick in San Diego, what do you think, Rick?
I think you're beating up a little bit on old people for being teachers. I think they should make that decision, but...
Oh, you know what? I would allow them with a waiver to do that. But there are, I heard from someone who is married to a teacher that their union has got a website which is full of plaintiffs' lawyers' ads already. And so I would make it optional. Uh-huh. Some teachers want to come back in, but the plaintiffs' bar, until we get liability protection from the Senate, Mitch McConnell's insisting on it, these school districts are going to get sued left, right, and center by anyone over the age of 50 who gets the disease. So I'd leave it up to them.
Yeah. There's about 8 different cities in San Diego. Does this order include all the cities in San Diego? And does
no,
it include
this is San Diego
schools.
No, San Diego School District. That's all it is. San Diego School District. I think private schools will be on their own if the governor goes back to phase 3. Hey, Rick, thank you. Chris in Bluefield, West Virginia, where they root for the Vols. How are you, Chris?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
I only see 4 small problems: the students, the teachers, the medium, and the parents. The students, I've got 2 little ones. They're both leaving first grade, going into second. They've lost 1/3 of their first grade year. How are they going to catch up? But these little folks, I love them to death, but attention spans are short. And they're in their home environment with all the distractions that has to offer, which means that concentration is at a minimum. Relying on parents basically to back up. I live in a low-income area. And a lot of these parents, they're barely past third grade education themselves. I love some of them to pieces, but they're not going to be able to back up their kids and help their kids out.
Can you imagine a second grader with a 4-year-old in the house? Can you imagine that? A second grader with a 4-year-old in the house. They don't stand a chance.
The dog will come in and distract them. The cat will come in and distract them.
Well, they shouldn't have cats. I mean, cats should just actually be illegal.
I don't altogether disagree, but sometimes they manage to invade.
Okay. Chris, I got to roll on. I appreciate it. You're right. You just made a perfect point, but I want to go to Minneapolis and talk to Brian. Brian, what do you think?
Morning glory, Hugh.
Morning glory.
And so I've heard some talk here that some school districts are thinking about doing distance teaching where the teacher is at home, but the kids are in the classroom. And then they bring in younger teacher's aides, people who are far less susceptible to COVID, to manage the zoo in the classroom.
Well, that's not a bad idea, actually, if they're an older teacher. You know, I don't see any reason why a 25-year-old kindergarten teacher cannot teach if they're healthy.
Exactly.
I don't know why a 30-year-old third-grade teacher can't teach. They're just making policies at the macro level and not making policies at the micro level where they need to be. Let me get one more in. Deborah in Pennsylvania. Deborah, isn't it sad that you're on the Barstool Sports map? There's no favorite team in Pennsylvania. You have no teams, I guess. Barbara,
Hello?
Are you there? Deborah, how are you?
Oh, hi. It's so very nice to hear from you. I watch you every morning.
Thank you.
Great.
Oh, thank you.
I was thinking, why don't they put humidifiers in school classes?
Well, I don't know that
I know
that would actually...
air conditioning.
I don't think humidifiers get rid of the disease. I think children are asymptomatic carriers, although there's a study out of Iceland that suggests they're not really asymptomatic carriers, but they might be. And I haven't seen any science that humidity kills the disease. None, Deborah.
It would help. Okay.
All right. Brian in Pittsburgh, I'll let you have the bonus because Pennsylvania doesn't have a team.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I'm a teacher. I'm 54, Hugh. I'm in pretty good shape. I run almost daily, thank God. We need to give it a shot, Hugh. Schools should be primarily about educating kids. Now, I'm a union teacher. I appreciate my union. but I think we need to give it a shot. The data in Allegheny County has been good. Has been good throughout this. Now, we've had an uptick in cases, but as Dr. Scott Atlas has taught me out of Stanford, it's not the cases, it's who gets it. Who's getting
it? And Brian, very quickly, because I tell people about relieffactor.com, if you had a colleague who was 60 years old and had diabetes and didn't want to come to school, could your school figure out how to cover that person's workload?
We have to, yes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this is not rocket science. You got Brian who said, let's give it a shot. I'm in great shape. I'm a runner. And that means you don't have the underlying conditions of heart or diabetes or high blood pressure. That's what should happen. Brian, thank you. Coming right back with Drucker. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Joined by the man that music always introduced, David Drucker, who you see on TV everywhere, who works at the Washington Examiner, David M. Drucker on Twitter. Good morning, David.
Hey, Hugh.
I want to ask you about the education debate. L.A. and San Diego schools yesterday announced in the fall there will only be virtual learning. I've been talking to callers this morning. This is not a problem for the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I, thank goodness, because our kids are grown. But all across the country, parents are dealing with the idea of no real school. The president and Betsy DeVos and everybody else pushing school districts to reopen, as they will in most of the country, but these large urban centers are not doing so. What are the this shouldn't be a political issue, but inevitably it will be politicized. What do you think? How does it cut?
No, look, Hugh, it's an election year, so everything's a political issue. And
right.
Less than 4 months away. And I think that it could cut in a number of different ways, but I do think it's going to ultimately everything's going to get back to how voters view the president's handling of the virus and the pandemic. And so on the one hand, I think you can have a lot of parents that have a lot of anxiety about the need to send their kids back to school, both because they need to do their job so they can pay the rent, and because for many kids, being in school is really the best thing for them, even if a virtual learning program is well run, and many are not. I have kids that are 5 and 8, so I'm acutely aware of this. However, I would say that given that we've had an uptick in the number of people contracting the virus and the anxiety that is causing, and even if the president, which he is pretty much, full bore, reopen the schools, figure it out. And some of these local officials in cities that are run by Democrats are hesitant. It won't necessarily accrue to him. It could, but I think it will only accrue to his benefit if voters conclude that they like the job he is doing and think he's doing right by handling and mitigating the virus and the health risks related to the virus. And so everything, I think, for him boils down to that.
Now take our area. Northern Virginia and D.C. Northern Virginia Washington Post headline sees ebb in virus cases while numbers reach record highs elsewhere in state. Northern Virginia has basically reopened. I mean, people can go out and get a meal. They'll sit outside primarily. There might be one table open in a room or socially distant. They can all the drugs. Everything is open and life is almost at normal. And Northern Virginia schools are not going to open. I think that creates a backlash against the local school district. As you have seen, Fairfax County schools are getting pummeled for this decision.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a state-by-state, community-by-community reaction. But I think the president has staked out by far the most popular position, which is wherever possible, reopen. And that might mean leaving teachers who are over 50 or 55 at home and doubling up, but get kids back into the school into some sort of orderly organization in-person learning. I think that's the overwhelming position in the country, David, although some people are driven to oppose it because it's the president's position.
Right. Look, I think, again, everything's sort of complicated because the president is polarizing. I mean, it's just, if you really like him, you really like him, and if you really don't, you really don't, and there's very little middle ground there. Like I said, I mean, I think there are areas in the country, and it's very possible that these benefits politically could accrue to the president, but it's going to be about overall public sentiment about his handling of things. So, like in an area like Northern Virginia, let's assume for the sake of argument and hope, because I live right next door to these people, that the leveling off of the virus in that area, which the Washington Post reports this morning, maintains, and that it's a scenario in which people, which children could go back to school. And then, you know, the next thing you ask those voters, you ask them sort of two questions in my imaginary poll is, one, do you want the school district to open relatively like normal so your kids can go to school? And what's your opinion of the president's handling of the virus? And I don't think that you're going to get, the president's going to get what he wants unless he gets, you know, positive marks on both.
He is getting positive marks from some people. I don't know. I actually don't think anyone knows how this is going to play out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because we still have, a long time in campaign world to go before voters start voting. But I think my point is, especially in a suburban area like Northern Virginia, but other suburbs across the country, where he's having a lot of trouble. And, you know, people forget this, but Trump won the suburbs 4 years ago. You look at the CNN election exit polls. He won the suburbs over Clinton by 4 points. In 18, he had a huge problem his party did in the suburbs, and that has continued. He needs to be viewed positively for these other in those areas for these other ancillary benefits to pile on and help him in an election against Biden. And I'm not saying it can't or won't happen. I'm saying that's the political development you need for an issue like the schools reopening to accrue to his benefit based on his current position.
Agree. David Drucker, thank you, my friends. Greetings to everyone out there. Greetings especially to Coach, who's listening this morning. Hope you're doing well there. Everybody, come right back. Got Tom Cotton and others coming up in hour number two. David Drucker can be followed on Twitter at David M. Drucker. And follow me to hour number two of this Tuesday morning edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show.